Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we have finished The Steerswoman. We did it in two episodes, not the usual three, so make sure that you finish the book before you listen.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into book, Luke, I'm going to warm us up.
Okay, good.
So I was traveling home this weekend, and I had a bit of a problem that I realized I have not heard anybody complain about yet, and so I'm going to complain about it. Okay, all right, here's the problem. So we were borrowing somebody's car while I was home. One of my cousins. We were borrowing her car. And I often was forgetting to, like, give her the keys back.
Okay.
And the reason why this is a problem, Luke.
Oh.
Is because she has one of these, like, new cars that has a push to start.
Right.
So, like, when you're driving the car, the keys can stay in your pocket. You don't have to do anything with the keys when you get in and out of the car. Yeah. So I'm constantly forgetting them in my pocket because I'm not doing anything with them. I'm not putting them into something and then turning them. And I'm, like, losing the keys in the car all the time. I'm like, I don't know where to put this. There's no place to... All right. I'm starting to get into my rant about this. I think this is my big picture thesis here. We've gone backwards with car keys. Give me something I have to physically put in the car to get it to work. Because otherwise, like, you need it to get the car to work. It's not like we've gone to the point where you have, like, a thumbprint scanner or something that lets you start the car. Like, you need to have this physical thing to get the car to work. I can't go on an app on my phone and enable the car start or anything. I have to thing.
Honestly, I bet cars do have that. But for our purposes today, yes, you're right.
Well, and the reason why we were borrowing my cousin's car is we were going to borrow my dad's car, but we couldn't find his tiny little key fob anywhere in the house. And he was like, look, all these places, we could not find it anywhere. And so it was like, okay, cool. And normally, right, here's the thing. My dad, for the whole time I've known him, hides a key on the car. Just in case he's, like, locked his key inside. The way he like, has a little magnetic box. You put it up under the frame somewhere. No one's going to know to look for the key on the car. And so it's just like a way of having a backup. You can't do that with one of these electronic keys because it's close enough to the car that it will allow you to start the car without physically having the key in your possession.
This is interesting. I hadn't considered that.
We've gone backwards. And the thing that is so frustrating about it, too, is there is nowhere for you to put this key in a lot of cars. Like, there's no little slot for it to fit into to be like, here's where the key goes. Like, hey, don't want
to
keep this.
Because you're supposed to keep it in your pocket or your purse.
But you need to get it out of your pocket to unlock the car in the first place. I don't want a bunch of keys in my pocket when I'm driving, too. When I'm driving, I take everything out of my pockets. Phone comes out. Wallet comes out, keys come out. I want this key to be able to go somewhere. I don't want to put the keys in the cup holder because it's got my sweet bevy in there. But it's the only place for it.
Right. Great point. I feel like we need to get you one of those crossbody bags.
What? To do what, Luke? Like, I'm going to wear that while I'm driving?
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
I could see you with it.
No. Look, you're solving a problem that didn't exist 10 years ago. You're solving a problem that's been created because people thought it was futuristic to not have to put a key in their car. They could just hit a button. Right. But it's not. We've gone backwards, guys.
So, I agree with you on the point of the button thing, but on different grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's not as cool.
It does feel really lame. It does feel very uncool.
It feels really lame. Now, this, like, becomes an issue when we get to electric cars, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you can't have the same ignition mechanism for an electric car, right?
Of course not. Yeah.
So you're going to lose that cool aspect of it regardless, unless you want to simulate it in some way. But that feels, like, too try hard.
Right.
I do feel like I like the idea of just, like, you step in and you kind of like insert it into a little mm-hmm. a little slot,
yeah,
and then like the lights come on and stuff.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, yes. That there's nice so too. Many options here. I totally agree with you. The button feels so anticlimactic for starting a car. Like, give me anything else. Truly, give me a lever. Give me a little crank knob or something that I can do. Give me a bop it. Like anything on a bop it, except for the middle button, and I would be pleased to start this car.
This gets to a larger point that I think is fairly common, but I'm curious if you'll agree with me. Give me more retro car stuff. Give me buttons. To be clear, other than to start the car. But I don't want the touchscreen.
Give me the touchscreen
from me. Give me the real buttons. And then give me a look. Give me an old school style silhouette. I know they're way less aerodynamic, but
oh, Luke, come on.
They look cool.
We gotta all do our part for climate change, bud. Come on.
That's right.
If you're gonna drive 40 miles to work every day, back and forth, right? You can't have a cool car look. You got to have a Prius or a Toyota Sienna or whatever the like most aerodynamically efficient car shape is. You have to. That's just the trade-off. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you live within 2 miles of your work, you can have a cool car. But then if you do that, you should just bike anyway. So like no more cool car shapes anymore. Dan's saying it. I don't care if the conservatives cancel me because I'm taking away your burgers and cool cars, but I'm going to do it when I'm president. That's day one.
Wow. Huge news.
I'm making them illegal.
Just non-aerodynamic cars within.
You've got a certain tolerance, sure, but it's tight.
Okay. It's very tight.
Wow.
They're all Luke. The same. Give me a little mini pocket car. Love those.
Love those things. Love those little guys.
I've derailed us a little bit, though.
We've gotten a little bit off the rails here. I just wanted to complain about these. I've not heard anybody complain about them, but truthfully, have they made your life better? Like, has this been better now that you don't have to actually put it into the car and turn it to get your car to start? Or is it just like a little bit less convenient?
Yeah, I think to wrap up my conclusions here is I feel like we went halfway with the push to start.
Totally.
And we didn't, like, I recognize that we need to make a change away from the ignition, mostly because of the electric car vehicle thing. But I want us to go all in on, like, we need a way to make this thing cool. And it's not just, like, a generic button. It's, like...
complete redesign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Good hot take. I wasn't expecting it. You're right. I haven't really heard tons of complaints about that. So I'm glad we got there.
No. Like, can you imagine if there was a pull cord from the ceiling that you pulled on and it started your car?
Like when you're honking the horn on a big semi-truck?
Exactly, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Anyway. Okay. Steerswoman?
Steerswoman, which we have finished.
Luke, real quick, tiny little note, but I gotta say it. You probably have this too. Is it great that the first Steerswoman's name was Sharon?
I can't believe you opened this with that. I probably have this note too. I don't have this note. What are you talking about?
Okay. In a bunch of stories we've read, you know, the like first of some like important order, I feel like has some sort of an epic story about them. Mm. And they've got to have a cool sounding name. And
okay,
this, I see where the first steerswoman was named Sharon. Like, Sharon the steerswoman was just her. It was just like, yep, this is who it is. That's Sharon. I get why there's not a ton of people in their organization now, I guess.
They're not into marketing. You would think that they would go with some kind of like cool nickname after you've like become memorialized in some way.
Like Sharon the Wise.
Yeah. Do you think that they're retiring names?
Nobody
like Sharon's you can't be named Sharon anymore to be a steerswoman, so either they're either rejecting Sharon's or you have to change your name.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that this is how the steerswoman accidentally started? Is they were like, hey, what's that lady doing with all that knowledge she's got? And they're like, oh, she's sharing it. And they're like, oh, is that what her job is? And then that's just how the whole thing got started?
Honestly, yes.
So now that we've talked about it, I might rescind my point. This might be the perfect name for the first steerswoman.
Sharon be Sharon.
She do be.
I love it. This is great. And it is funny because, like, if you zoom out and think about the steerswoman as an organization,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like not one in a way.
Like, you're saying anyone could do this?
Like, it's just people that are smart.
Correct.
Well, and, like, have their some one training. Role is, yeah, I mean, there's, like, yeah, some training. But, like, yeah. Generally, it's just, like, they've gone to school and trained to think a certain way. And they do have the rule, right, about being open information.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a decent chance that Sharon was doing this kind of thing just because, like, she wanted to. And someone later was like, that was pretty cool.
You're saying it wasn't an organization when Sharon was doing it. She was just a lone librarian out there.
And right.
Yeah. 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 I think that's probably true. I think it's interesting, though, because, like, I get that this is an organization and that people get banned and they have training they go through. But it's really based on one principle of, like, freedom of knowledge sharing. Like, right. Anyone could go out there and be like, hey, look, you can ask me any question and I'll answer it, but you have to answer mine, and if you don't, I'm never gonna answer your questions again. And they're like, oh, so you're a steerswoman? And they're like, maybe. I am in my heart. Does that count? I'll still do right. The thing. I'll still tell you stuff.
Actually, this raises an important question that I can't remember if we asked already or not,
which is,
what's the assurance of, like, accuracy?
None. We have not asked this question yet. None. There is no assurance. But I think that's part of the training, right? I think that's part of the, like, you trust the steerswoman to be pretty good at what they do.
Right.
But, I mean,
information's always evolving, Dan.
And Luke? There's different levels of steerswoman, right? Like, there've got to be some that are, like, A students and some that are right. C students.
Right.
So what distinguishes, like, a barely passing steerswoman from, like, a pretty smart guy that's just doing the same thing?
I don't know.
I don't think much, Luke. I think as long as you're, like, in your heart, you're doing the right, you're doing the mission.
I mean, okay. To be technical, they do have identifying, like,
yeah,
a ring or something, I think it was. Sure. But the larger point stands.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Luke, you know that's got to be an awkward conversation when one of them starts to get to that age where they're forgetting things and they're like, hey, you should probably retire and let somebody younger take over. And they're like, no, I'm going to finish the job I started 4 years ago, or however long ago they may have started the job, you know?
Right.
And, like, that's, how do you tell them, hey, look, I know you think you're telling people the truth, but it's coming out as gibberish.
Yeah, yeah. I'm more curious about when they find something that they've thought was true is actually something else.
Do they have to go back to every person they told that and correct the record?
Yeah.
They've got to have a disclaimer in the small print, right?
And yeah, for sure.
Because otherwise they're just constantly issuing retractions.
Probably, maybe this is
why it needs to be a pyramid structure. Like, they always need to have, like, it's like Social Security, where you always have to have younger people going around correcting the things that the older people went around and said.
Mm-hmm. They must be carrying around, like, notices where they put up in each town, like, this is what we got wrong last year. Check to see if it affected you.
Oh, wait a minute. Luke, do you think they're publishing anything and like spreading knowledge through the written word at all? Or do you think these people are purely doing oral knowledge transmission?
I think just oral.
Oh, guys, this feels like such a waste. They need to all be carrying around, like, books or pamphlets or something that are, like, top 10 most asked questions of the steers women. that's right. just like the here, FAQ. Here, please, everybody should have this. It's really useful stuff. Like, and hey, I don't have to be here because as we get into this a little bit, it turns out Rowan is sort of like self-important. She's sort of thinks of herself as really big and special because she's upset that people weren't asking her questions until she drops her disguise. She's like, God, I wish they were asking me these freaking questions. Oh, I wish they were asking me. And it's like, maybe this is why they don't publish anything, is because they're all so like committed to being the one to tell somebody something that they're like, I can't give that up.
Right. I mean, I feel like it does take a certain amount of like I don't know how to describe it, but like to want to do this job.
Yes.
And so I kind of don't blame them.
I mean, it is a nice service, but it's also sort of selfish if they're doing it because they just love people coming to them for answers to their questions. It would be a much more useful service if they were like, great, we found out all this stuff. Let's put it into a compendium and mail it out to a bunch of libraries that we have all throughout the country.
That takes funds, Dan. They don't have them, as we discussed.
That's true. That's true.
Actually, speaking of which, I think I've found another source of income for the steerswoman, which might be the big one.
Yeah.
I think they're making most of their money through a courier service.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we're looking through Rowan's eyes, they meet the steerswoman, and part of the reason that they get caught up is that she is like, through circumstances, needs to send a letter through them. And the guy's like, oh yeah, just give it to the steerswoman. And like, if you're not charging a lot of money, that's like kind of inconvenient for these steerswomen, right?
I don't think they are charging much money though.
Okay, but you can't just like every time I see someone, people are like, take this letter for me. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, but they have to do it in the phrasing of a question, like, hey, will you take this letter for me?
Yeah, but you can answer the question no.
Yeah, but that's rude. So, and they can be like, why not? And you're like, well, I'm kind of busy. But I don't think they would just take it anywhere, right? Like, she could give her that letter because she knows she's headed that direction, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not like, here, take this letter to this town. I'm assuming she's like dropping it off in the next town over. But you still have to, like that's a service. You still, like...
You're not wrong.
You have to travel there and find the place and then, like, give it to the right person and pay them to take it. So, like, they're at least giving steerswomen money for the next trip.
Yeah, but given what we know about the steerswoman, the only payment they would want is to be able to read the letter. Because they're a bunch of freaks. They'd be like, oh, I'll take your letter, but I get to read it on the way.
I love this. I love this rule.
Right? Like, they totally would do this, right? They'd be like, yeah. You can either pay me $10 or I can have a little peek.
Well, they can also, if you're like, hey, can you take this letter for me? Then they can be like, yeah, what's in it? And you have to answer.
You do. Oh, that's a horrible rule. That's a horrible...
This is where they get most of their knowledge, I think.
Yeah, this is why nobody sends letters with them.
I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
Okay. I have a note that I don't know what to say about. So we went to a little town. And...
A weird little town.
And talk to people. And it turns out that they're doing some weird little tricky trick. The only thing I have to say about this is I'm just like, I'm intrigued by the trash heaps. I don't know why. Yeah. And I don't have much more beyond that. But are we just doing, each house has a trash heap?
Yeah, you know, it's just.
Is that how things were? Well, Luke, I feel like it probably was, but like it feels weird to me.
No. Because this scene was a little bit confusing to me too. I was like trying my darndest to figure out like what the point of it all was. Like, why did they go to so much effort there with the steerswoman when like they knew who she was already? They just needed to see if she was coming along and then be like, okay, there she is. Let's call the soldiers we were always going to call. But the whole deal with the trash heaps was that they, I think those places weren't houses originally. Like they were businesses that had to have trash heaps. Like that's why there was a bunch of pottery maybe in that heap.
Yeah.
Because it was actually the potter's house originally. I don't know. This is the only explanation that I could come up with.
I mean, yes, that's right. And I'm not like, I'm not pushing back against the story at all. I just love a trash heap, maybe, is what I'm saying.
You could start one, Luke. Nothing's stopping you. Well, actually, there's quite a bit stopping you, but.
There is. Yeah, that's all. I was just like thinking. I was just thinking notes, and I was like, "What's going on with these trash heaps?" That's fun.
I mean, I'm curious about they're generating so much waste every year. Maybe they have to have trash heaps because. Do you think that the Potter story was true, or do you think this was somebody who was pretending to be a Potter and coming up with a wild story?
Because
his story was that every year he makes like 100 plates and they all just smash them as a tradition.
Well, that's kind of, I like it. I think that one's true.
Yeah, but that's why they have to have all these fucking trash heaps, because like, okay, we've got a bunch of broken plates now. Where do we put them?
It is a lot for a small town.
And like, have some pride in your work, man. They show up.
Very little pride in his work.
Rowan shows up and he's like, I'm a merchant and I'm thinking about, you know, trading in pottery. And he's like, not this pottery. This pottery's shit. This pottery sucks ass. And I've been doing it for decades. I refuse to get better at it.
Yeah. This is the thing. Like you should get better. Like you can improve.
Why? No point, Luke. No point.
That would be so boring, though.
Yeah, but every so often a wizard comes and makes you move to a new little house and you know, you get to have your ceremony every year where everybody breaks all your pottery because it's so shitty.
I don't know.
Maybe if he got good, maybe if he got good, they wouldn't do that anymore, you know? And this is just a guaranteed income for him. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Or in this case, I guess, if it ain't good, break it. But then don't fix the way you're getting money. You know what I mean.
I get you. He relies entirely on his Christmas bonus.
Yes.
And his Christmas bonus just comes when he sells a bunch of plates for this one particular thing.
Yeah. And if the plates were good, everyone would be like, I don't really want to break it.
Right.
They'd take them home. They'd be like, this is my nice Christmas dish now. And they only need one. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, this place was weird.
Weird town. Weird plan by the wizards, but who am I to judge, I guess. And then, okay. So then they get followed and then ambush their followers. And so they're gonna get caught by six soldiers, mm-hmm. and at this point it's Rowan, Bell, and Willem, and they're all like, oh, we should go, and Rowan's like, no, we can take them.
Yeah.
And they successfully do.
They do.
Why are like soldiers so bad at fighting sometimes?
I don't know. This is a great point, especially when like this is a steerswoman. Yeah, she's smart. She's not like a warrior.
No.
These are professional soldiers, guys. How are they getting beat this bad? They outnumber them 2-1.
And they so they do level the playing field a little bit with like a quick thingy. But like, I think Rowan fights like at least 1-on-1 for a long time, maybe 2-on-1 briefly.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true. I don't know.
We got to get better. We got to ask more of our soldiers.
I mean, maybe these are conscripts, right? Like maybe these are people just from the town who have been conscripted. They don't seem to have a like a uniform, like a, you know, they've got just like whatever armor they found kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like they've got a like super strict training regimen. They make them sleep all day, apparently. But I agree with you. And if I'm Willem or Bell, I'm pushing back, I think, a little harder on Rowan's plan here.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, it's 2-1. They outnumber us 2-1. We don't need to fight them at all. We know they're coming. We've got plenty of time to evade them. We also know the direction they're coming from. So if we really want to find out where they came from, we can, you know, head that way.
Right.
Like, they don't. Fighting seems so dangerous. Why are we doing it?
It seems very dangerous. I'm not for it. they do win, and they capture a boy. Actually, before we get there, the fact that they... Like, capturing someone is much harder than killing someone, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But nevertheless, they do it. They capture a buddy, and then they torture him for
information. Oh, yeah. Here we're in a tough spot. Yeah.
I just want to say, okay, so last episode I was critiquing the Steers women a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
I think I'm continuing to be vindicated.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing great behavior.
So Luke, I have a feeling like the latter part of this episode is gonna be just like, I think the Steers women are a bad organization and they're bad guys.
Okay, good. Good.
Because, I mean, starting with this, like, really bloodthirsty move that Rowan is like, no, we're going to fuck him up. Instead of running, Rowan's like, no, we're going to fight and kill these people. And also, sure, Rowan is keeping Bell from just outright murdering Willem or whatever his name is when he finds out the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, if Bell is that close to just murdering a boy, I'm like... With rethinking my choice of companion pretty quick.
Right. We might not be compatible.
Yeah, we might not have similar goals. And so she's really trying her best to keep Bell from outright killing. Also, let's think about what the quest is. It's just to like find out what these things are. And Rowan is like, yeah, it would be worth killing this boy so we could continue our quest. No, go home!
Right, I mean, okay. The quest was originally finding out what these stones are, which is very small stakes. The quest has become that, but also just like it's more important now because the wizards are trying to constrain them, which still it's like, I don't know. You can probably give it up.
Especially if this sweet boy is the thing that you might have to end their existence to keep going. Like, right. He's so
this
sweet.
Delightful young boy.
Yeah. He's a great lad. And you're like, I'm trying to keep Bell from killing him, but if he doesn't decide to go along, we're going to have to. Don't like that. And yeah, the torture thing, Luke. Great point. What's going on?
You can't torture people.
That's not allowed because one thing I appreciate a lot about this book is them like working through the logic of decisions, like it's either this or this, and if it's this then this, and if it's this then this, and just like really working through it. They refuse to do it when they are thinking of torturing this man because they're like, if they spent any time at all, it's like, okay, I could torture this person, and there's one of two options. Option one, they don't tell me anything. Option two, they tell me something. And that thing they tell me has two options. One, it's true. The other, it's not true.
Right.
There's nothing that compels someone.
The reason why torture doesn't work is because you don't know if it's true.
Yeah, there's nothing that compels someone to tell you the truth when you're torturing them. Like, come on, guys. We've all seen Glockta at work at this point. I know. Okay, you can get him to say anything.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's bad. I don't know. And then she's... So we let Belle do it because Belle's like, yeah, if he, you don't want to do it, and he'll figure, he'll understand that. It's like, first of all, I don't know if this guy's like trained in
enhanced like, interrogation techniques.
I don't think he's really ready. Like,
he was barely trained in how to take on like a small party of non-trained people.
And also, like, I don't know if it's worse to just like hand a responsibility over to Belle. But it's like not better. Like, you're still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
And then the worst part of this whole thing, not the worst part, one of the parts that just makes it even worse. They're following this guy back, right? They're like, they let him go. They're following him back. And then they lose his trail at one point. They're like, yeah, we had injured him pretty good. So he probably just died due to exposure. Oh, guys, you're bad. You're bad, guys. You just tortured a man and then let him walk for 3 days in like horrible condition. And then when he lost his trail, we're like, yeah, he did. He was injured really. We did injure him really badly. He probably just died. Oh, guys.
Yeah. I don't know.
What? Come on. Now, we should say, Luke, hold on. She wasn't wearing the ring at this time?
Excellent point.
Or the chain.
She had called time out.
She'd called time out.
On she'd being called, a stooge woman.
Yeah. So, I mean, could be fair right. game.
Yeah.
I think their hands are clean right now.
Since she took the... We can't actually blame this on this... Like, we can't actually say anything about the steers woman
right.
because of this.
Right. And actually, going back to last week, the lady who abandoned her kids did it but like when she wasn't a steerswoman.
Okay. This is true.
So actually...
So technically,
we may have found a loophole. Steerswomen seem pretty good.
Nice. Nice. Love that. Okay. We get to I'm going to call it a castle.
Yeah. Fortress, castle. Yeah.
Where our duo, because Willem is left outside, do some little finagling and they make their way, but then Rowan is caught
mm-hmm.
and hangs out with two wizards for a little while. And they seem fine.
Yeah, it seems like it's okay.
Now, like, I couldn't quite tell how young they were, but think that they were like late teens almost.
Late teens like is what me. I was. They mentioned like 16 or 17 was what Rowan mentioned.
And I did like how, like, I do think they were written very well as mm-hmm. like late teens who are a little bit in over the head, but they have to like have this facade where they're like,
they've got
a I think that was, I liked it. I was into it.
Yeah, me too.
And I also kind of liked them.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because Luke. It doesn't seem like their motivations were to kill anyone necessarily.
Right.
Like, they didn't send their soldiers out to kill them. They sent them to capture them for whoever it was who was going to come collect them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they just, I don't know, they'd seem like kids who are under orders to do something bad. But then Rowan gives them a puzzle and they're like, oh, hell yeah, let's figure this puzzle out. I think that's really sweet, actually.
It was nice. I was loving actually the back and forth between Rowan and the two kids
mm-hmm.
Because they're clearly of very similar minds. Just interested in a little puzzle. I liked the comparison to her argument with the mm-hmm. steers man from headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
frustrating how bad of a teacher Rowan was, though, because her whole job is like answering people's questions. And then she gets in there with these wizards and she's like, God, this one is so stupid in this respect. And this one is so stupid in this other respect. And God, if they just each did both of the things, they'd be so much better. But she just keeps it to herself. She's just silently judging them for being stupid in one way.
Right.
And it's like, Rowan, help them.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Now, they do sound like they were probably doing some not too great things, especially considering like the threats they were making towards Rowan, and like the fact that their consort had like a lot of bruising.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what was going on with that one.
It was sort of implied, like very subtly implied, that there was some like violence going on, I think.
Yeah.
Which isn't good, obviously. Yeah. But aside from that, I don't know.
Okay. The consort, I forget her, Leanne or something like that.
Yeah.
Why did we murder her?
Yeah, the body count that Belle had was super high here in the fortress. So the reason why all these people had to die was because they knew that Belle was with
Rowan. You're right. Okay.
So they could out Belle as being not who she said she was, or at least not the one bringing in Rowan.
Right.
I still think you just avoid her the whole time. Cause like, you know where she's gonna be. She's inside. She's on the inside part.
I know. Okay. Expanding on this.
Yeah.
This being the body count of the escape.
Uh-huh.
Very high.
Extremely high, to the point where like Willem's gotta feel pretty bad at the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm talking like thousands, right?
I would say hundreds, but high hundreds, I think.
It entirely depends on just like how big this like fortress / town is.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone in it is dead.
Right, he just collapsed the entire fortress down upon itself, using a giant explosion. He just Helm's Deeped it. And on the, in their escape, they were like using the innocent bystanders to for their own ends. They were like, no, let this crowd go ahead of you, and then we'll build them up into a frenzy. We'll get them all riled up, and then we'll use the chaos to escape.
Right.
Instead of being like, hey, let's make sure all these people get out too. Yeah. All these innocent people who aren't really down with this wizard. And I'll say this, Luke. At this point, Rowan's put her ring back on.
Oh, this is true.
Now, counterpoint, she didn't come up with the plan. So, still seem free and clear to me.
Right, yeah. It's just so many people.
It's hard to ignore. It's truly hard to ignore. And, you would hope the quote-unquote good guys would hear this plan and be like, okay, I get that that might work. Can we explore some alternatives here?
Right.
What else might work to get them out? Let's just spitball. Maybe we try and get that body count down a little bit. You know? And if it doesn't work, then we'll scrap it. We'll go back to your plan. But, like, maybe let's try and inch that body count down.
I mean, at what point are you like, it's too many people, I'm just going to take it for the team? You know?
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I do agree with you. Okay, so this is not Rowan's original plan.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much we can actually, like, assign responsibility to her.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very Belle plan. It feels like a very Belle plan, right?
It is very Belle. Like, it's very on brand for Belle, because Belle has like no respect for lives, I think.
For barely anyone else's life, yeah.
Right. So that checks out for sure. I do feel like Willem needs probably suppressing. We need to get Willem in therapy soon, probably.
Yeah. But he's like a party to it, right? He knew better than anyone what was going to happen.
Yeah.
When he did this, and he was like, "Yeah, we could do that." Classic wizard, am I right?
I know. Classic. Already starting.
Especially Luke. Ah, the thing that's so frustrating about this whole thing is that Rowan gives up the game immediately to this other wizard.
Yeah.
Because there's this moment where he's like, ah, some other wizard blew up their tower and now we've got fighting amongst ourselves. And Rowan's like, oh, they don't know. Oh, this could cause a lot of discord and turmoil among the wizards. And it's like, yeah, isn't that a good thing? Like, isn't that what we want?
Right.
Isn't that worth, maybe, isn't that going to help your soothe your conscience about like 500 or 600 people being buried alive under a mountain of rubble? And instead she's like, ah, I'm gonna flip it on him. I'm going to really get his goat here and tell him that we did it. Dude! Stop it! He's under the ban! You don't even have to answer his questions!
I know.
Why? Her explanation is that it'll be worse when they figure it out and then come after her again.
Yeah.
You don't know that? What if they destroy themselves? What if through this conflict they like annihilate each other and the wizards completely collapse because they have infighting? They do this like civil war for real this time, not just orchestrated by one guy.
Right.
And then collapse.
Yeah. I also don't really know why it would be worse if they figured out later.
Yeah. Aside from the fact they'd be really pissed.
We're near peak, I think.
Correct. Correct.
The problem is Corvus, who is the wizard that she talks to.
Yes.
Do you want to skip ahead to this point?
I think I'm ready. I'm ready. The only other small little thing is like, guys, you already know that Steers women are immune to the charms and secrets of the wizards. Like, why didn't you have Rowan open that door when you had to get out? Like, she opened the door coming in, which is part of the like thing about it, which is why like we didn't notice it before. But, like, you remember this, guys. Rowan definitely remembers this. Just you open the door to get out.
Right.
You'll be fine. Anyway, right. But then she gets caught and then, you know, plot moves forward. Anyway, let's go to the end. Let's talk to our wizard at the end.
Okay. Our wizard at the end, whose name is Corvus.
Corvus.
He's very cool.
He's cool. He's handsome.
He's got a neat vibe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so they chat for a little while about the deeds. As you've mentioned, she tells him basically everything, right?
Yes.
And they come to a little agreement, because she figures out what has happened and what these stones are.
Yes.
Which is these like waystones that wizards in the past they're not called waystones, I don't think. They're satellites, essentially.
Guidestones.
Right?
Yeah.
Guidestones.
Luke, I think these are literally satellites.
Okay. And so they put them up at some point in the distant past, and one of them has taken has blown one up, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she and I'm trying to figure out how the best way to phrase this is, because like, so this entire mission is taken because she's trying to figure out what these things are. Keep in mind that she doesn't know that they're a wizard thing.
Yeah.
And now I guess like this just seems like a wizard problem. Do you know what I mean?
No. And, like, what do you mean?
Like, the premise of this whole quest is because we've found something that the wizards are doing and we think it's going to impact us as an organization, as the Steers Woman organization, right?
Yes, yes.
Or to impact the world at large.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop it because that can't be good.
Because
the wizards are always bad, kind of.
Okay. That is not what I think the quest is.
Okay.
I think the quest is like, we found this cool thing. The wizards don't want us to know it. So clearly it must be cool and important.
Fair. Okay. Maybe I'm ascribing too much like forethought to this. I guess my qualm is just that this is like a big wizard thing.
Yeah.
That some wizards put up a while ago and another wizard is like doing stuff with now.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't really know if we do much with it.
Yeah, but Corvus is saying that now it's going to cause issues for everybody. If it's not.
Yeah, but like this leads to another point where it's like, he's like, okay, yeah.
He's like, hey, your GPS is going to stop working.
Right.
And they're like, what's GPS? And he's like, oh shit. Never mind.
Well,
he's
like, this might impact us because like the wizards do a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well now I'm team wizard because like if you guys are like saving the world right now. And I don't know about it.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm not doing a good job of describing.
No, no, no. I think I get what you're saying. You're saying this seems like a wizard problem because it doesn't seem to affect anything on the ground. Like Rowan's final explanation is like, oh yeah, one of your satellites fell. Is that going to be a problem? And Corvus is like, I mean, for wizards, yeah. This is like a wizard spell. We use it for our spells, and that's like what it's for. And Rowan's like, oh, that's it? And Corvus is like, well, we do a lot of spells, so it's important. But yeah. It seems very contained to the wizarding world. I will say, though, it seems like the technology is useful outside of that, right? Like, it seems like this big mission that Rowan is on is to uncover the secrets that let the wizards have all the power. It's to be like, what is this technology? Because the wizards clearly have it and it's useful for them, but I want to like make it accessible to everybody. And that's sort of her mission. And that's sort of what she says at the end of Corvus is like, look, you can even kill me. You can kill the two of us, but like what we're doing is bigger than the two of us. This process of like discovery. And so I get what you're saying. And I do also, like, it does seem to really become more of a wizard problem at the end, where Corvus is like, yeah, I mean, we do important stuff with it, so it's going to matter eventually.
Right.
But it also has cool stakes for down on the ground, because, I mean, clearly she's found a solar panel, right? Have we decided she's found a solar panel yet?
I actually hadn't spent a ton of time thinking about what it was, but that sounds reasonable. Yeah.
Because they plug it into a little dancing thing and they face it to the sun and it starts to move. And it's like, oh, okay. And, you know, they're trying to figure out the coding on it. Clearly it's a solar panel that was in space because they have ones that are on the ground and don't have to have this special coding because it's in a different environment. Like, it's gotta be a solar panel, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so like Rowan is just trying to uncover the power that's in this thing because pretty useful.
This is very interesting because as you've been talking, I've been realizing that I'm approaching this like I would a normal like fantasy book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like looking at the problems that a normally fantasy book has, which is like, I don't know, someone trying to conquer the world and people trying to stop them. But that's not the problem that Rowan is trying to solve. So maybe I need to give Rowan more credit because the problem that she's trying to solve is something that's more modern of like representation and like free sharing of information.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think these are starting to intertwine because Rowan is like, who's the puppet master here? Let's uncover that mystery too. So there is this sort of like one world government like fight that's happening as well.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. The other thing that I have about this interaction is that, so she gets a little job interview for, for Willem.
Yeah.
And he blows up a boat in a very dangerous, experiment.
Yep.
And then Corvus is like, okay, like you can tell that he wants to take on Willem, but he's like, I need a good reason. And the reason that Rowan gives is basically that like, if you kill us now, then like long term, someone else will also figure this type of thing out.
Yeah.
Which like is fine, I guess. But it's not a very good reason.
No, because killing like, the mouse. Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, okay, I'll deal with that problem in like 50, I don't know how long, a long time.
Yeah. I'll just kill them too.
That gives like, me a what? Ton of extra time to think up a solution for when that happens. Actually, it's a bad reason. Come up with something better. I mean, I think the thing is, Corvus is looking for a good reason, like for a reason. So he's probably going to say yes to anything.
Yeah.
It's just, this one's not, it's a good point for long-term. It's a not a good point to save your personal individual lives.
Your immediate circumstances, it doesn't help you because then, right. Yeah, exactly. The answer is just like, well, I'll kill you and then I'll figure out what I'm going to do next. Right.
He can change a lot in the time that another person figures it out.
Probably. Yeah, he'll be like, oh, I guess I really need to up the propaganda and reduce the amount of schooling that everyone's getting.
Yeah, easy.
Done. Yeah, and I am... The ending to me is kind of weird. I'm trying to figure it out because Rowan seems to really care about Willem.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, I still want to be a wizard. You're like, what? Why? Don't be a wizard. Don't be a wizard. Clearly they're bad.
I don't know. Are we still on the clearly they're bad train?
Well, I mean, they are not in control at the very least, right? Like this one guy sort of runs the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you become a wizard, you might not have a choice in whether or not you share the information of the wizards, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Because everyone's being compelled to do things by this one head wizard.
Right.
Scold or something. Whatever his name is.
Something menacing. Yeah.
Something menacing. Yeah. And so, sure, he's like, I'm going to reveal the secrets when I'm a wizard. But it's like, dude, there's a evil bad guy who's running the wizards and he might brainwash you or whatever. Like,
right.
I don't know. I just can't believe they let him go be a wizard after all that. Like, wouldn't he have a new perspective on it too and be like, yeah, maybe wizard isn't the move for me. Maybe now that I know a little bit more, I'm not going to go wizard.
Well, I don't know because like I well, what's the perspective that you're thinking of that would make him not want to be a wizard?
They kidnapped my friend and we're going to, I think, kill her because she's a steerswoman.
I guess because of what we've seen, I'm agree that on the issue of like information sharing and mm-hmm. representation, as we discussed earlier, like steerswomen are obviously in the right and the wizards are in the wrong. Mm-hmm. Now they like kidnapped Rowan, which was bad, but like our team, as we've discussed, did slightly kill hundreds of innocent people.
And I guess, to be fair, they compelled Willem to do it. Or at least, like, maybe not compelled. It's hard to say how that decision came about.
So, point is, I think if you're, like, looking at this scenario from a neutral perspective, it's like, I don't really think the wizards are that bad.
You know what, Luke? Fair enough. I'm actually thinking about this more, and I'm like, yeah, there's sort of a neutral. These two organizations seem sort of value neutral at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Wait. That's not the main thing I'm getting at, though.
Okay.
What I'm getting at is that Rowan is like, I will help you do this.
Okay.
Rowan hates the wizards. Rowan thinks the wizards are awful. Rowan also really cares about Willem.
Mm-hmm.
Rowan is like, I promised him I'd be a reference, so I guess I've guess I've got to read the letter. Just don't, or be a bad reference.
See, the problem is though that like I think, okay, once we tell Corvus about it, then like either Willem is being killed or he's being an apprentice,
Right. Okay, I see, because he's already got the knowledge.
And, like, they're not going to just be like, oh, you can... it's very dangerous. Like, you yeah. can't let a boy run around with...
This is true. With, like, okay. Fair enough, Luke. Yeah, he's going to blow his arm off pretty soon.
Like, on the lower side of the danger, sure.
Correct. Yeah. Okay, Luke, fair enough. Send him to the wizards,
like,
I guess.
Oro was like, all right, he is... his trial for crimes against humanity was next week, so we really need to get him an internship in a nation that doesn't what's the word I'm looking
that
for?
that doesn't extradite
like soon,
like ASAP. this is fair, Luke, point accepted. Yeah, okay, all right. Oh man, curious about what they're using these satellites for, though. Do you think there's a nuke?
Too. There's a lot that we haven't learned yet. A lot to be curious about. So, like, what's going on with the satellites? Obviously, there's, like, they talk about another group of people, and there's, like, other lands that no one knows about.
Yes. So there's one wrinkle right now in my canon about it being, like, technology. And that is, when they tortured the guy, he just, like, wouldn't say words.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that to somebody.
I don't know either.
Maybe he's got a little neural link. Maybe Elon's hit him with a chip. A scramble his brain.
Probably. Could be that. I also am not 100% sure I know why steerswomen are immune from the little electrical shock.
It's the shoes, Luke. We talked about this.
It's just because they wear rubber shoes?
Gotta be the shoes. That's my bet.
I don't know.
I'm guessing shoes. Okay. They really should have systematically tested this whole thing, but maybe we'll get that eventually.
You're probably right that it's the shoes, because they've made a big deal about the shoes. And I forget if they made a big deal about sailors wearing them.
Yes, sailors do wear those shoes.
Okay.
And steerswomen and sailors both immune to the wizard's magic.
Right.
So
no one else is allowed to wear
gum-soled shoes.
That's right.
Because everybody else has got hobnails. They've got nails attaching the soles to their shoes, Luke. Come on. It's gotta be the shoes. I think it's the shoes.
I mean, anyway. I agree with you that it's the shoes. I just...
Yeah, we should have tested this, though.
So, I think we've got some answers. But it leads to a lot more questions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're... I think both of us, at least, are pretty intrigued by the world, by the story. And for that reason, we're gonna keep going with it, actually. Mm-hmm. So, next week... we are going to continue on in this series. We're going to read the second book, which is called The Outskirter's Secret. This one, I think we're going to do in thirds, because it looks a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So check out the first third of The Outskirter's Secret for next week.
Yeah. Luke and I have also been talking about sort of figuring out our schedule, sort of getting some other books locked in. And so we are looking at doing on the pod The Wise Man's Fear, the second book in the Name of the Wind or the Kingkiller Chronicle series by Patrick Rothfuss. So we're looking at doing that sometime in the summer of 2027. So just keep that on your schedule. We'll get to that around then.
Right.
Give or take a few months.
Looking forward to that.
And you know what? In the meantime, we're staying in the world. We're going to find out what these satellites are about, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Who this big, bad, scary guy is. We'll bring the hot takes.
And keep being dumb nerds.